The scripture lesson this morning for the communion meditation comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I handed on to you. But the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who drink and eat without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord's Supper that we are going to celebrate in just a few moments is a three-course affair. Three. But there's only bread and cup. That's two. But that isn't what I mean by courses. And I don't mean appetizer, main course, and dessert either. But there are three parts, three facets to the Lord's Supper, and if we forget any one of them, the meal, the experience, is incomplete. Proper meal begins with something to whet the appetite, to attract attention, to stimulate the taste buds. And then there's the main course, the substance, the most important part. And finally, there's dessert, the finishing touch. The promise that being filled for now does not mean never wanting to eat again. Now, any of those alone is all right. But nutritionally and customarily by itself, it's incomplete. The very same thing is true for the three aspects of the Lord's Supper. The first course of the Lord's Supper is remembrance. Commemoration. We remember the events that surrounded that first supper instituted by Christ. The cross and the resurrection must be remembered together as God's total, complete victory. When Christ says, "Do this in remembrance of me," that is precisely what we are to do. Remember all that God has done, crucifixion and resurrection, not just part of it. We are not re-sacrificing Christ with the communion service. We are not re-breaking his body and re-shedding his blood. Holy communion is not a rite. It is not a magical happening. We are not even reenacting Christ's sacrifice. We are remembering his once and for all sacrifice with the sacrament, which is a sign and a seal that Christ himself has given to us. And since it is and it was once and for all, we are to remember it with joy. Many Christians use the word Eucharist for the Lord's Supper. And that is a fine biblical tradition. It comes from the Greek word for thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that our commemoration is where we remember what God did for us on the cross, that it was effective, and that it was once and for all. The joy of Christians is not that it had to happen, but that it need never happen again, ever. Have you ever wondered why we talk about celebrating the Lord's Supper rather than observing it? Broken body, shed blood, that doesn't sound much like celebrating. Seems like there's a contradiction there. But we must not forget that it is Christ, the risen Lord, not just the crucified Jesus, who instituted it and who invites us to participate in it. And that's the second part, participation. The communion, the common union. We are invited to join with Christ in this supper. He's not dead, he's living. One of the best scholars on the sacraments is a man named P.T. Forsyth. I can't say it better than he did. Listen. Let us at least get rid of the idea which has impoverished worship beyond measure that the act is mainly commemoration. It's mainly participation. No church can live on mainly commemoration. How can we have a mere memorial to one who is still alive, still our life, still present with us and acting in us? And then he says something that needs a little explanation. A sacrament is as much more than a symbol, is more than a memorial. I had to think about that. Just as the flag is more than a symbol than the Lincoln Memorial. You know the difference. We go to the memorial to remember Lincoln. We look at the flag and we understand a little bit more about who we are and how we feel as Americans. Forsyth goes on. It is quite inadequate to speak of the sacrament as an object lesson, as if its purpose was to illustrate a truth instead of a living Redeemer. It is not an hour of instruction. It is communion participation. It's not an act. It's not a lesson. It's not a spectacle. It's not a ceremony. It does something. And so we celebrate it with participation communion. We do not just observe it or sit back and watch. What it does is that it allows us to discern the body of Christ. Christ was at the first supper when he took the bread and said, "This is my body." And so when we say Christ is here, present with us through his Spirit, when we break the bread in his name, you heard the Apostle Paul say, anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. Well, what does that mean in terms of our participation? To discern means to see. It means to understand. When I see the bread and the cup for you, it is the same bread and cup for me. And so I see and I understand that we have the same thing in common, in communion. Jesus Christ is our Lord, not yours and mine, ours. Scripture tells us that those who love Christ as Lord are a part of him, his body, the church. So in this supper, I see you and you see me as in the one body of Christ, the church. And that is the foundation of Christian love. Now, we believe that Christ is risen. And so we too are a part of the body of Christ. Again, this becomes an occasion for joy. We are to continue being joyful like this, Paul says, until he comes. And that brings us to the third part of the supper. Expectation. Hope. One more time, listen to Forsyth. A church rests not on sacred sorrow, but on holy redemption. Christianity is not a worship of sorrow, but of grace. The great thing, however, is not to be sure that something was done, but to have part and lot in doing it, to have it done in our souls, to be doing it with Christ, with him to die, and with him continually to rise together. The Lord's Supper is a feast of resurrection. Had it not been for Easter, we would not be celebrating communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Therefore, it is the resurrection that ought to be uppermost in our minds when we celebrate the supper, not the crucifixion. This is the Lord's Supper. It is not a replay of the Last Supper. The earliest Christians really understood that. They had a very short and bold prayer that they always said at the end of communion. Maranatha, come Lord. And that ought to be our prayer, with a kind of a double desire as we come to his table. First, that we come into the midst of the grateful gathered in celebration of his name. And secondly, that we can discern, that we can see and understand his spiritual presence in our communion, that we might faithfully anticipate his final return and do it with joy, and that's our hope. The Lord's Supper involves remembrance of Christ's cross and his blood and body broken, shed for us. But it is also a communion of knowing that we are in the risen, everlasting body of Christ, his church. And it is of hope, expectation, until he comes. With those three, a blessing results. Listen this morning to the communion liturgy. It's all there, remembrance, communion, hope, because the Lord's Supper really is a three-course affair. To that end, let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you feed us in this sacrament, that you unite us with Christ, and that you give us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us from this communion in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.